Well, our next guest is a former pharmaceutical executive of 25 years who's been investigating the role of the Department of Defense into the COVID-19 pandemic. In documents recently obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, she asserts that the DOD controlled the COVID-19 program from the start and that information provided to the public was a cover-up. Sasha Latipova, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so what we've all been told about the Department of Defense's role in the pandemic was that the department helped distribute supplies and equipment to frontline healthcare workers. We saw them deploy hospital ships to certain parts of the country. We also know that they helped fund the research and development of vaccines through Operation Warp Speed. But you say, through reading through all these hundreds of documents, combing through them and actually analyzing them, that there's way more to this story. You even say, actually, in your Substack piece that, quote, it wasn't just logistics or even just lots of funding, and certainly nobody was combating disease. So can you explain to us where did these documents come from? What did you, when you started combing through them as someone who's been in the industry for a really long time, understanding way more than most of us lay people about this, what did you discover from these documents?
Right. So the documents were obtained through FOIA by a nonprofit, and they're posted online. I've referred to the links in my Substack. Also, I obtained some additional documents through Securities and Exchange Commission shareholder disclosures for BioNTech and Pfizer and other companies. And so the review of all of that led me to, and I also had some disclosed PowerPoint presentations from Operation Warp Speed, BARDA. And they were available from public meetings, and so and people just send me the collections of their documents. So all of that together points to, first of all, our U.S. government, when they announced the global, when WHO announced the so-called global pandemic based on 40 cases worldwide out of 8 billion people, which is ridiculous. It's not any data. But they decided it's global pandemic. Then our government treated it as if it was an act of war by their actions, not by their words. What they told to the public, they said it was a health event. What they indeed created, they put National Security Council in charge of COVID policy response, and National Security Council doesn't have any health representatives on it, only defense and intelligence. And then the acts that were invoked to fund what they call countermeasures. It's primarily Defense Production Act of 1950 and a variety of different appropriations, but they all went through billions and billions of dollars, went through the Department of Defense, BARDA, then to their manager, which is Advanced Technologies International. It's a manager for the DOD who specializes in contracts, which are other transaction authorities. So these contracts that we released, and there are about 400 of them, they're all OTA, other transaction authority. Yeah, exactly. So it even states it here, other transaction authority, and the scope of work is typically described as, like here, I'm highlighting it, large scale vaccine manufacturing demonstration, or they sometimes say prototype, but it's basically countermeasure, prototype, large scale manufacturing demonstration. And that's how they contracted for these things, with billions and billions of dollars. So this is Pfizer you're showing here, and their contract was initially 2 billion, it states here, but then it was actually in different options, 10 billion. So gigantic amounts of money is going to buy us a demonstration. And demonstration by definition is fake. Okay, so that's how they contracted.
Okay, so so that was a lot of information. So the first thing that I heard was that they treated this like warfare. So they were not treating this as, oh, this was just, you know, a health event that happens. Like we see other sorts of health events, or, you know, maybe not pandemics, but other sort of, you know, epidemics like influenza disease that maybe is a little bit more virulent than normal. And they don't treat it like this, is what you're saying. This was treated differently than like bird flu.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it was the structure, the organizational structure of it made no sense if you think of it as a health event, but makes a lot of sense if you think of it as war. So National Security Council, which is advisory to the President of the United States on foreign policy, consists of primarily defense heads and intelligence heads, no health representatives. And then the Operation Warp Speed was headed by the Department of Defense. So also in the internal PowerPoints that were declassified and released, it's clearly stated the org chart is drawn. And at the top of the org chart, Chief Operating Officer is the Department of Defense. So it's not just they're distributing the vaccine. They actually are in charge of all of it, design of the clinical trials, supplies, manufacturing, production. They have established manufacturing base that's manufacturing this. And it's not just Pfizer, it's hundreds of companies. And then they have, you know, the clinical trial design, the safety monitoring, the reporting, data security, legislative affairs, legal, the Office of General Counsel, which is Department of Justice. So this is basically, you know, people make a mistake thinking that this is Pfizer as a pharmaceutical corporation operating as a private commercial business. That's not true. What is happening here is the pharmaceutical corporations, plural, including Pfizer, have been folded into the government security complex through invoking of Defense Production Act. So the government fused with these companies, extended their liability coverage and sovereign immunity,
right,
and told them to follow the orders. You will get a ton of money. Don't ask any questions. Just do it.
Okay, so first of all, you know, so many of us were silenced and censored for even exploring the idea that this virus came from a lab, right? That was considered absolute conspiracy theory. But in reality, what you're saying is that when you comb through these documents, the government, our own government, was treating it that way. They were treating it like this came from a lab. This is an act of warfare. And now we have to hunker down and do countermeasures to this warfare that has been taken upon us. So right then and there, the idea that, you know, that the lab leak was a conspiracy theory just shows that the fact that they censored and silenced so many people who even explored that option, and yet behind the scenes they were doing this, I mean, that's really outrageous. Secondly, then the question is, well, then what did they know? What did they know that we didn't know? Because they did behave so oddly, and that is something that I think many of us that believed this looks like this came from a lab and they know something we don't, that this is not natural out in just kind of naturally occurred, because suddenly, you know, we watched country after country after country shut down. Like as if those leaders were told something, like you better lock everybody down because we don't know what this thing is and we don't know what this thing's going to do. So, you know, right there was just so much that was suspicious, so much that was just odd. And now we've got this evidence essentially from these documents that they also were operating in that same way. So that is, I think, big news. I mean, many of us really suspected this, but it's really pretty much laid out there now in these documents. The second thing is you're saying is that so they brought in all these pharmaceutical companies and they said, listen, you're now working for us. We're now in charge as the Department of Defense. You're going to do what we ask you to do, but you're going to make a bunch of money from it. And you're going to get complete immunity. That is something many of us had a big problem with, right? They don't have any, there's no repercussions for people that had vaccine injuries or died from these vaccines. So you're saying that they did that. And they, because they knew, I mean, what would have, why would they have done that? Because you make some claim that these were just fake, that this was a faked, the whole thing was faked. So what is that about? Explain that a little bit more.
Well, so what was faked, in my opinion, and actually, you know, based on these contracts and how they're written, is the representation to the public that, first of all, these are vaccines, and they're not vaccines, they're countermeasures. And you can see clearly in the contracts, it states that, the FDA is regulating them. That's not true. That's the biggest lie. FDA has no regulatory authorities over countermeasures. And in fact, they all cited that piece of law, including the FDA, so they all knew what they were doing. The piece of law that says that use of emergency use authorized countermeasures under public health emergency does not constitute clinical investigation. And so the regulations need not apply. And so that's the piece that they all cited, including FDA. So they're in full knowledge what they're doing, and the FDA is impersonating regulators to the public
Right.
to convince everyone and fool everyone into believing that these are actually really pharmaceuticals, that they're really manufactured to good manufacturing practices, that really they were rigorous clinical trials instead of the huge amount of fraud and manipulation of data that they did on behalf of these manufacturers. So that's the
Oh my
biggest lie.
God. Yeah, I mean, okay, so this all makes a lot more sense now that we see this, because the FDA, there was this, why would they approve these medications or these whatever they are, right? What do you want to call them? I don't call them vaccines. I don't think they're really vaccines by the definition of what I always thought a vaccine was growing up. So these shots, I mean, it did feel like just kind of sham hearings. Like, it didn't matter what anybody said. I mean, we had two of the highest people of the FDA that were in the vaccine, that were vaccine regulators, resign because they were like, this is just foolery, essentially. And now we have this in these documents showing that it didn't matter if the FDA thought they were safe or not. They needed to just put up the charade, is what you're saying, to bring that confidence to the American people, because there was that, well, as soon as they're FDA approved, then they could be mandated. And as soon as they're FDA approved, then we're going to give these to our kids, right? I mean, that's what the whole narrative was. It was based on that FDA approval. And these documents are saying that wasn't even necessary. You don't need there. So it was all just, and it was very suspicious. It seemed like there was no pushback whatsoever from the FDA, even when we found all of these problems with the vaccine. It didn't seem to matter.
Exactly. That explains why for 2 years, very premier scientists and advocates and people who, professionals collect impeccable data. By the way, this is like the best documented with data health event in the history of humankind. And there is good data showing huge amounts of injury and death. And Pfizer knew about it. They've issued report in February of 2021. So everybody knows. And then FDA goes and says, oh, they're safe and effective. Don't worry, everybody. Go away, get vaccinated. So this makes no sense whatsoever, except when they're acting, they're
Yeah.
play acting. And that is how they were hired to do this job. By the way, who claims the regulatory authority over them is BARDA in public presentations. BARDA has claimed that they've approved all the doses of vaccines, all the doses of therapeutics, and that they are regulating the manufacturers and that they are doing something about good manufacturing practices, although there are none, I'm sure. And BARDA is a funding agency from the government. They're not the regulator of pharmaceuticals in the United States. I would like to see the act of Congress that made them so.
Yeah. So BARDA is, just so people know, the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So that's
Exactly.
so they do handle by they're they are they handle medical countermeasures against bioterrorism, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear threats. So that's that organization.
But they're not regulating pharmaceuticals in the interstate commerce, do they? No. So
No.
why are we being lied that FDA is regulating these things?
Right. Yeah, and in what looked like very much charade meetings, they were all going to vote for it anyway, and it didn't even matter.
Another.
And there was even a time when they even said, well, it doesn't even matter what the FDA does. Like, we're rolling these out anyway. It was just whether or not they could be mandated once the FDA approved them with absolutely no data, oftentimes, or even data that was counter to what you should want to. I mean, I watched these FDA meetings myself, some 8 hours long. Right. And there was one even in particular where doctor after doctor after doctor, almost all of them, actually brought up the myocarditis for young people. And they said, this is a problem. Aren't we concerned about this? And in the end, they all still voted to approve it. It was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen. What in the world?
Exactly. Because it's a charade. It was predetermined that they were going to be approved. By the way, we still did not have a single shipment of Comirnaty in the United States. I have data for all the zip codes in the United States. There's not a single batch. All of them are EUA. So everyone was fooled that these are approved. It's a fake approval because there's no real product available. And everybody's being still injected with EUA.
Wow. Those are a couple of really big revelations, I would say, from these documents. Was there anything else?
Well, so I think there was I wanted to point out that there's the contracts also specifically. So the first in scope, they say it's a demonstration. And then there's a bunch of language in there, kind of fluff language, saying, oh, you know, there's going to be clinical trials and FDA approvals and all that. But then there's a scope, which I think was showing on your screen shortly. And it says that specifically preclinical, clinical trials and the chemistry manufacturing controls is out of scope of this project and this funding. And the government specifically is not paying for that. So
what does that mean?
That means that all this clinical trial, again, it's a confirmation that it's a sham because it was never ordered by the government. And the government was very explicit saying that we're not even paying for it. Yeah, this one.
Yes. So why was so then a company, if you're already going to get billions of dollars from the government, you already know that this is going to end up being FDA approved, that there's because it doesn't matter about FDA. So you're not even thinking about FDA, actually. You already know you're going to get the money from the government. You already know this is going to be rolled out. You already know all of that. So, yeah, why would you spend money as a company on clinical trial data that would potentially showcase that your product doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
And probably
absolutely.
in this case, it would show absolutely that the product doesn't work,
it
right?
Because it doesn't
work.
They
didn't.
And you have full liability coverage. You have like
right,
sovereign
right.
immunity. Why would
yes.
you ever do such a thing? So of course, all of this describes that the sham was ordered. So there's Brooke Jackson's case. And it was very important. Again, I don't want to discourage people to go after Pfizer for fraud, go after all of them for fraud, because this is very valuable. Because then in the court of law, Pfizer stated this, invoked this as their defense. Their defense is we did not defraud the government, judge. We performed the fraud that government ordered. We need to make them say it in court,
right.
All of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they probably eventually will. You know, I think it'll probably get to that because what we now know is that these products, even if they were hopeful that they worked in the beginning, we now know that they don't work that way. And the narrative has had to change. You know, they've had to change their tune of what they're saying from, oh, yeah, you won't get the disease to, well, OK, you won't get severe disease or you won't die. And then they're like, well, OK, you know, and you need to have, you know, five shots. Yeah, it just keeps going and going and going. So at some point, you know, the public is just going to stop taking them. And we've even now seen that the uptake mm-hmm. even of the bivalent vaccine has been very low. It's like 14, mm-hmm. 15, 16%.
Yeah.
Like hardly anybody's taking this thing. So mm-hmm. as they go down that path and they see that their product is just not popular because people think, why take it? Mm-hmm. They're going to have to start answering, especially then for the injuries. And then mm-hmm. you're right. I bet you they will get into court and they will say, it wasn't us. I mean, we were just doing what the government told us to do. So I do think eventually they will get on record for that because otherwise their companies are toast. I mean, otherwise people just lose faith in those companies entirely. So the only mm-hmm. defense they have is, well, we were just doing what the government told us to do.
Exactly. And so the prosecutor, so Pfizer definitely needs to be prosecuted for fraud, but also the government, the frameworks that they put in place, the frameworks that they're utilizing, the Congress that has been asleep and passed all these things in the middle of the night in 1,000-page acts that nobody ever read. That's how we end up with this nonsense.
Yeah.
So they need to act. The Congress needs to be educated about this.
And you're right. They just get these big, huge packets and they don't even read. They pass the bills. They go to the floor, they cast their votes, and they didn't even have time to read these things. It is a sham, complete sham. So, I mean, you know, thank you so much for your journalism and research on this. You know, these are the types of things. There's so many documents that were released, you know, with even the Pfizer document drops and these other, Freedom of Information Act requests that have been made. A lot of documents. And it's just, you know, we do need more people like yourself who have the expertise, who've been in the industry, who can comb through these documents and then just explain what's in them for us. Because most of us don't have the time, or even if we look at those documents, we don't know what the heck we're looking at. You know, we don't understand them. So, I mean, it's really appreciative that you're doing this work for those of us so that we can see what the truth is. So thank you, Sasha.
It's my pleasure, and I have a lot of people who are working together. It's not just me being so smart. I rely on hundreds of experts and colleagues to help me.
Yeah, well, really, many of us are appreciative of all of you that are doing that great work. So, Sasha, she's got a great Substack, not only all of this wonderful information, but beautiful art as well. That's why her Substack is called Due Diligence and Art. You can see, look at that beautiful artwork there. Sasha Latipova, thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing this with us.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you very much.
Well, that's all we've got for you tonight. Thank you so much for watching The Kim Iverson Show. It is Friday, Friday the 13th, actually. And I hear tattoo parlors, some of them are giving like a discount on Friday the 13th. So maybe go get yourself a tattoo tonight. I don't know. I'm not going to be doing that. But hey, just kind of a fun bit of information for Friday the 13th. So anyway, have a great weekend, guys. We will be back here Monday, same time, same place. Really looking forward to the weekend and relaxing. I'm sure you are as well. So we will be back Monday. Thank you so much for watching. Head over to my locals community. Join there. After shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I do a live call-in show in my locals community. You don't want to miss it. So head over there, sign up, and that's it. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.